Creator of the universe, this is deeply, deeply acquainted with us. And he knows all of our ways. And indeed, he is, as we've seen through many of the Psalms that we've looked through this series. We find wonder and comfort in these chapters. And our spirits are lifted just because God meets us in our community. And when he meets us, he doesn't just leave us there. He beckons and calls us. Today, we're going to be in Psalm 150, which is the last psalm in the book of Psalms. If you have your apps or your Bibles, you can turn to it. If you are using the Pew Bible, it's on page 615. I have it here, and it's also up there. I'm going to read it for us. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clashes of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise him." Don't praise him. Lord, we thank you so much for this. Lord, we thank you that we are in a place where we can openly declare hallelujah. Where we can openly invite others to come in and praise you with us in one voice, one sound, one heart. Lord, we thank you so much for opportunities to be able to use moments like these to fuel a fire that extends beyond our congregation, beyond our close-knit families. But we can use these opportunities to start fires everywhere, to ignite fires everywhere. That our hallelujahs in this sanctuary would echo into our community, and it would resound in our world. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's research among Bible scholars that says there's 70% of the Psalms are laments by King David during his time in reign of exile. At the end of the Psalms, King David chooses to use a praise song, a hallelujah. This almost seems like a command and less like, or a decree and less like an invitation. It's not like in this psalm, King David is saying, "Please, will you?" He's actually saying, "Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah." Okay, I don't know how conservative or how liberal King David was, but in this moment, he was definitely Pentecostal. Okay? All right? I mean, this is a man that dances before the altar of the Lord, coming into the temple with just his loincloth. This man is not ashamed of his worship to the Lord. Today, we're not going to focus on the lament. We're not going to focus on the 70%, although we will in portions of this. We are going to focus today on the praise. See, something interesting that the psalmist does in the book of Psalms is he begins Psalm 1 with a thought of praise. And we received that word a few weeks ago. Blessed be. Praise be to the man who, the woman who walks, sits, dwells in with the Lord. And then, at the end, at 150, this last psalm, it's not just a thought anymore. It's not just a blessed be, maybe. It's a hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How did David get to this conclusion using this song? Well, in this series, we've seen David through a lot of these different songs. We started off with repentance. In his own words, he said, "I've sinned against you, Lord, and against you alone I've sinned. There's an honesty in David that we don't normally see in ourselves or in other people in repentance. When we repent, it almost sounds like this, or at least to my wife, it sounds like this. I'm sorry, but this wouldn't have happened if you didn't provoke it. I would have remembered to wash the dishes if you would have reminded me to wash the dishes. Although I wash the dishes all the time. But David's honest about this. When he gets down to seeing where he is, when repentance happens in his life, there's no excuses. He comes before the Lord and says, I take ownership of this repentance. David walks through happiness. I may talk about recapturing happiness. Blessed be, happy be the man who knows truth and is content with that truth. It's the contrast of people who chase after God's recklessness, who says, you know what? I know that there's good and there's bad, but I'm going to chase after that guy. I'm going to chase after God. And in chasing him, we find that we're not just chasing him. We find that he's pursuing us. God is always calling to us. He's always saying, where are you? 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 We've seen in Psalm 8 a recapturing of who we are in the Lord. We recapture our identity. When we realize, you know what, God is the God of the universe. He's the star Lord. He's the superstar of this galaxy. I remember Pastor Jeff talking in that message about how long it would take for us to get to Canis Majore. I'd have to be frozen and then shipped and then thawed out. We'd never make it, folks. We'd never make it. But God makes it just because he's God. And out of all these great things that he's made, he looks down at earth, one of the small things. He looks down at creation and one of the small things. So good. And we've also looked last week at when our praise doesn't match our life. When we want to, yes, I've done it. But that yes is on the inside, and on the outside, it doesn't look like it. There's raw authenticity in being this honest. When we look at God and we say, God, why? Why haven't you come through? Why haven't you allowed me to graduate on time? Why haven't you allowed for me to finish the work that I need to finish in this state? Why haven't you allowed for me to mend the relationships in my family that need to be mended? We say why not because we don't think that God can do the why. We say why because God is the only one that can do. So we walk through this series of Psalms, and we see that this is how David is interacting with God the whole time. He paints this picture of his experiences with God, hoping and thinking about a hallelujah and a praise at the beginning of this book, exhaling and inhaling, and at the very end going, hallelujah. So how does this work for us? I mean, yes, David is an awesome worship leader, and he writes really, really good songs. How does this work for us? Well, for some of us, it's this. It's turning the hallelujah in our life, if I could be so audacious to say, is the turning in and finishing a paper at 11:59.45 seconds when it's due at midnight at the end of semester and going, hallelujah, it's done, it is finished. For others of us, it's that sweet, sweet cherry on the cake when you raise one hand in the air knowing it's going in. I don't even have to look at it. It's going in. Or when you hit that ball and you sit there for a second, hovering around home plate before you even go to first, knowing it's going. It's going. Oh, yeah, it's going. And yet, even for some of us, it's the stroke of a paintbrush to a masterpiece that reflects our life. Or it's the click of that last email that you have to send out to finish up your day. And you're saying, 100 emails. I'm clocking out. And again, like I said, for many of us, it's those experiences. For some of us, more so the Pentecostal persuasion, it's a strong agreement, right? Some of us will sit there and somebody will say something cool like, don't you agree with me? Hallelujah! I agree! But hallelujah seems to be many to be a climactic declaration of personal victory, of accomplishment. And in some cases, extreme relief, and I feel like on this side, extreme relief. But it almost comes as a sense of completion, of finishing. Rarely do we hear people say hallelujah before the start of the project or in the middle of it. Many of our hallelujahs are connected in intimate personal experiences that we have, much like David. But I believe that in our time, our hallelujahs have been kind of devoid of our emotions. And I think that it is this that we've been told, well, it's just an emotional high. You know, like, let your hallelujah mean something. When we say hallelujah up here, or we say hallelujah here, but it's never hallelujah. And so, is hallelujah always meant for everything? I would say no. If hallelujah is always meant for a victory, like in some of the examples that I've given here, then David would have always felt victory in saying hallelujah. And there are times in the Psalms in which we went through the series where David definitely did not feel victory and he said hallelujah. There are moments in our own lives, I would say, where we struggle in the midst of the work, in the midst of our relationships, in the midst of our own failures, and we sit there and we do breathe that sigh and say, hallelujah, you're going to bring me through this. So let's talk about this word, hallelujah. This is what the message, this is how the message puts it, as opposed to the NIV. It starts off by saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And it goes through the verses and it ends with, let every living, breathing creature praise the Lord. Well, let's get to the bottom of the word, hallelujah. When we look and see that David says, praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him here. Praise him where he should be praised. Praise him where he lives. Praise him where we should come to praise him. Praise him in his mighty heavens. He made that. He owns that. He's in that. We should definitely praise him in that. Well, when we say hallelujah, what does it mean? There are only two variations of praise the Lord in the context of Psalm 150. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I did a study and I can't find any other translations globally for hallelujah other these two things. What does it mean? Allah, or halal, is a Hebrew root word for hallelujah or hallelujah. To be clear, to shine, to boast, to show, to rave, celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. Two parts. The hallelujah, the halal, the halal. Halal, to praise, and El, or the Yah, our God. Now when we look at hallelujah, most times people use it as a statement, an emphatic statement, as a praise the Lord personally. But again, where are our feelings in this? Where are our emotions in this? I think that in our lives, we've been taught that letting our emotions dictate the way that we worship God and respond to praise is not a good thing. And so we've become devoid of that in our celebration, in our praise. Christian singer-songwriter Amy Grant wrote a song called Better Than a Hallelujah. And then she puts it this way. God loves a lullaby and a mother's tear in the dead of night. Better than a hallelujah song. In another verse, she said, we pour out our misery. God just hears another. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts are better than a hallelujah. We go into the sanctuary of the Lord to give our hallelujahs. How are we celebrating? Are we celebrating with our entire selves? Are we in there with just actions and words? Are we in there riding on just emotions? We went through this whole series in looking at David's life and understanding that, one, he wasn't perfect. Not even close. In fact, David was the last person that he picked on the team. His dad thought that he was a cemetery. He was almost run out of office twice by a king that didn't want him there and by a son that didn't love his father. Felt wronged by him. And David's had all of these shortcomings and sins in his life. But at the end of the psalm, through his whole life, in the midst of all of these things here, David breathes and he says, hallelujah, I will give praise to God. He is stating to his people, he is stating to everyone through this song, praise the Lord. I have been through this. I am this person. But praise the Lord. See, I feel that the moment that hallelujah happens is the seconds in between where being hopeful and seeing the light of hope is actually. When you feel that it's not going to happen and God opens up just that crack for you to see that it's going to happen. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. It's coming. This is what my hallelujah looks like. I'm not even in this picture. This hallelujah is this room. This community, it reminds me of a song written by a singer-songwriter, Leonard Cohen, called Hallelujah. The verse that I'm going to read reads this, I did my best, it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fool. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of songs with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. David realized something that I believe that today we are beginning to realize as well. Hallelujah up here is just a set of rules. It's just a set of circumstances. is just a process and a byproduct of things that we feel that we should do in order for people to think that we're okay. Hallelujah is in here only without this, is short-lived. Because when the messes of the world come, we drown without thinking and remembering what God has done for us. So what is our hallelujah? Our hallelujah is this, that at the end of all things, God has called us to be more than just one person. We're part of something. Part of this. We're part of one family, one community. It's coming as you are. It's coming with everything that you have. It's coming with the good, the bad, and all of our love. It's about the God that we worship. And it's about the family that we worship. When David started this song, there was a thought that he had. Blessed be the person that knows who his God is, worships, and loves his community. At the end of Psalm 150, David knows who his God is. He knows that his God has in his hands. And through all the things that he's been through with his community, with his family, David says, hallelujah. I know how to love and worship. So as I invite the worship team back up, I'd like you all to stand with us. Today, maybe you are in the midst of waiting, gasping for that hallelujah to happen. Maybe you sent out that paper at 11:59.45 seconds. Or maybe God is taking you to heights that you're just amazed at. But today, I invite you, as David invites us, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God, pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Father, we pray that as you continue to lead and guide us, that we would continue to feel an overwhelming sense of your community, of your love, and of your truth. Lord, we pray that you would continue to lead us and guide us to know how to love one another, how to breathe in and breathe out your praise, that through you, in your sanctuary, in your heaven, all are praising. We're praising because you love us first, and you've called us to love you. Pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.